شاء الله. طيب خلونا نبدأ. Let us start. الله يبارك بكم. أمس كنا بدأنا بالكلام عن معاصي اللسان. If you remember, yesterday we started talking about the sins of the tongue. نكمل إن شاء الله تعالى من حيث وصلنا. Let us continue from where we stopped yesterday. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على سيدنا محمد الطاهر الأمين وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. قال المؤلف رحمه الله: والنميمة وهي نقل القول للإفساد. The author said, tale-bearing among Muslims to stir up trouble among them. In Arabic called namima. النميمة من جملة معاصي اللسان التي هي من كبائر الذنوب. Tale bearing is among the sins of the tongue that are enormous sins. That is, this is an enormous sin. وتعريفها نقل كلام الناس بعضهم إلى بعض لأجل الإفساد بينهم. The definition of tale bearing is to convey what someone or someone's said to other or others to cause enmity among them. وقد ذم الله تعالى في القرآن فاعل ذلك بقوله: هماز مشاء بنميم. الله in سورة نون in القرآن dispraised the one who does that. وقد بين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن هذا الذنب ذنب عظيم، فقال: لا يدخل الجنة قتات. القتات هو النمام. لا يدخل الجنة قتات، يعني أن النمام لا يدخل الجنة مع الأولين. إذا مات على الإسلام لا يدخل الجنة مع الأولين، إنما يدخلها بعد عذاب، لأن هذا ذنب من كبائر الذنوب. والحديث رواه البخاري. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام clarified that tail bearing is among the enormous sins. In the hadith narrated by Al-Bukhari, he said, لا يدخل الجنة قتات, which means the one who practices tale-bearing does not enter paradise. That is, with the first people, with the first batches who enter paradise. if one dies as a Muslim. So this hadith means that the one who practices talebearing, even if one dies as a Muslim, this person does not enter paradise with the first batches. Rather, this person enters paradise after being tortured in hellfire with the last batches that enter paradise. This entails that this sin is an enormous sin. وهذا الذنب النميمة مع الغيبة وترك التنزه من البول يعني النميمة والغيبة والتضمخ بالبول هذه الذنوب الثلاثة هي من أكثر أسباب عذاب القبر. This sin, tale-bearing, with with gossip and contaminating oneself with urine, those three sins are the main reasons for people to be tortured in the grave. So most of the torture in the grave is because of these three sins. التضمخ بالبول معناه أن يلوث نفسه بالبول ألا يتحرز منه ألا يتنزه منه. Contaminating oneself with urine means to, it's clear, isn't it? To stain oneself with urine. For example, when one urinates, he or she does not take care. So one wouldn't be contaminated with urine. كما يفعل كثير من الناس بعد البول لا يستنجون. فيرفعون الثوب إذا كان الثوب يرفع ويلوثون بدنهم وثوبهم بالبول الذي ما زال ينز لا يهتمون. Like many people do after urinating, they do not clean the exit. So they contaminate themselves with urine, the urine that still comes out, even in a small quantity. They contaminate themselves, their clothes, their skin with urine. This is an enormous sin. This is an enormous sin. يا لطيف. ومع عظم ذنب النميمة فليس هذا الذنب أعظم من قتل النفس التي حرم الله كما هو معلوم. Although tale-bearing is an enormous sin, this sin is less than the sin of killing unrightfully, as everyone knows. Killing someone unrightfully is more sinful than causing harm to that person because of tale bearing. Killing him is more sinful, of course. Everyone knows that. لذلك لأن هذا معلوم من الدين بالضرورة يعرفه كل أحد لا يجوز تفسير قول الله تعالى والفتنة أشد من القتل كما يفعل بعض الجهلة فيقولون إن معناها إن معنى الآية أن إيقاع الفتنة والخصومة بين الناس أشد من قتلهم بغير حق لا يقول هذا إلا جاهل شديد الجهل وهو بقوله هذا يكذب الدين فيخرج من الإسلام طيب taking in consideration that every Muslim knows that killing someone unrightfully is more sinful than just harming this person out of tale-bearing, taking that in consideration, it would be well known that it is not permissible to interpret the verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, والفتنة أشد من القتل like some ignorant people do. Some people, they interpret this verse by saying, causing enmity and troubles between people is more sinful than killing them. This is totally false, wrong. Everyone knows that this is wrong. Only a very ignorant person would interpret the verse in this way. And by doing that, this person would be belying the religion, would be committing blasphemy. إِنَّمَا مَعْنَى الْآيَةَ الشِّرْكُ أَعْظَمُ مِنَ الْقَتْلِ The verse means that committing blasphemy is more enormous than killing people unrightfully. This is the meaning of the verse. So the term إذن كلمة الفتنة في هذه الآية يراد بها الشرك. So the word فتنة in this verse means blasphemy. It does not mean causing enmity. قال المؤلف رحمه الله والتحريش من غير نقل قول ولو بين البهائم The author said stirring up trouble without passing words among others that is even if it is goading animals to fight each other. من جملة معاصي اللسان أن يحرش بين اثنين حتى يتخاصما ليوقع الفتنة بينهما. Among the sins of the tongue is to stir troubles between two people so they fight each other, for example. يقول مثلا لهذا ما رأيت كيف نظر إليك هذه النظرة لا تسكت له سبه يقول للآخر كيف يسبك وتسكت له اضربه حتى يتخاصما. For example, he tells someone, don't you notice how this person is looking down at you? Go ahead, curse him. And then he tells the other one, well, don't keep, go ahead, react to that. How do you let him curse you without you harming him? Go ahead, hit him. And something like that, what is similar to that, is prohibited. حتى لو فعل الشخص ذلك بطريقة غير الكلام. Even if one does that using other than words, يكون ذلك حراما. This would be prohibited. حتى لو فعل ذلك بين البهائم حتى تتقاتل. Even if one does that to let animals fight each other, this is prohibited. ما يفعله بعض الناس من تحريش الكلاب بعضها على بعض لتتقاتل أو الديك بعضها على بعض لتتقاتل حرام لا يجوز في الشريعة. What some people do that what some people do by inciting dogs against each other or roosters against each other is prohibited religiously. This is haram. بالكلام أو بغير ذلك سواء كان بالكلام أو بغيره. Whether it takes place by saying words or by other than that. قال المؤلف رحمه الله والكذب وهو الكلام بخلاف الواقع. The author said to lie, that is to say what is different from the truth. من جملة معاصي اللسان الكذب. Among the sins of the tongue is to lie. الكذب أحيانا يكون كبيرة وأحيانا يكون صغيرة. Lying sometimes is an enormous sin, sometimes it is a small sin. وفي بعض الأحيان القليلة في بعض الأحوال القليلة يجوز. And in a very limited cases, it is permissible to do it. معنى الكذب الإخبار بالشيء على خلاف الواقع عمدا مع العلم بأنه يخبر على خلاف الواقع بأن الواقع غير ذلك غير ما يخبر. Lying is to tell about something is to say or to report other than what is really taking place, while knowing that one is saying other than what is taking place. يعني واحد يعلم أن هذا الشيء كذا فيخبر عنه بخلاف ذلك. That is, one knows about something that it went according to a certain way, but he tells other than that. For example, أما إن كان لا يعلم الواقع بل يظن أن ما يخبر به هو الواقع. فلا يكون آثما بذلك. Now if one does not really know the truth, what's going on, he thinks, he believes that he is telling things as they are, while truly they are not like that. But he does not know. He believes that he is telling things as they are. In this case, he is not sinful for that. والكذب حرام إن كان على وجه الجد أو على وجه الهزل. It is haram to lie It is prohibited to lie, whether one is lying jokingly or not. If one is serious, it is haram to lie. If one is joking, it is still haram to lie. In both cases, it is prohibited to lie. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه قال لا يصلح الكذب في جد ولا في هزل. The great companion Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said لا يصلح الكذب في جد ولا في هزل, which means it is not a good thing to lie, whether you are talking seriously or you are joking. بل من كذب عمدا حتى يضحك الناس فإنه يقع في ذلك بذلك في ذنب من الكبائر. Moreover, the one who lies intentionally with the purpose of making the people laugh commits by that an enormous sin. So if someone is talking to the people and he lies to make them laugh, he commits an enormous sin by that. النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال ويل للذي يحدث الناس فيكذب ليضحكهم ويل له ويل له. ثلاث مرات قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام ويل له. الويل يعني العذاب الشديد, معناه يستحق العذاب الشديد فاعل ذلك. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said in the صحيح حديث narrated by البيهقي ويل للذي يحدث الناس فيكذب ليضحكهم ويل له ويل له, which means woe, that is great punishment for the one who talks with people and lies to make them laugh. Woe to him, woe to him. Three times the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام mentioned that the one who does that deserves the severe punishment in the hereafter. بعض الناس هذا عندهم كل ساعة. Some people, they do this every while. All the time. Every while they lie to make others laugh. وهذا من كبائر الذنوب. And this is a great sin, an enormous sin. وقد قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام إياك والكذب فإن الكذب يهدي إلى الفجور وإن الفجور يهدي إلى النار. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said إياك والكذب فإن الكذب يهدي إلى الفجور وإن الفجور يهدي إلى النار. معناه الكذب وسيلة إلى الفجور, والفجور يؤدي بصاحبه إلى نار جهنم والعياذ بالله. Which means don't ever lie. Lying leads to commit very ugly, sinful acts. And that, by its turn, leads to hellfire. وَمِنْ أَشَدِّ الْكَذِبِ الكذب الذي هو كذب على الله أو على الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم بأن ينسب الشخص إلى الله تعالى ما لم يقله أو إلى الرسول ما لم يقله. Among the most abhorrent types of kazib, of lying, is to lie about Allah or about the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. أحيانا هذا يكون كذبا. Sometimes this would be blasphemy. وأحيانا يكون كفرا. Sometimes this would be blasphemy. وأحيانا يكون دون الكفر لكنه ذنب عظيم. And sometimes it does not reach the level of blasphemy, but it is an enormous sin. مرة كان بعض الناس قاعدين فرأوا أعمى قادما فقال واحد منهم سفيه قال الله تعالى إذا رأيت الأعمى فطبه يعني فكبه يعني كبه على الأرض ارمه على الأرض لست أكرم من ربه. كلمة سفيهة جعل هذا الكلام السفيه والأمر بهذا الفعل السفيه جعله قرآنا. قال الله تعالى هذا من جملة الكذب على الله الذي هو كفر. Once some people were sitting together, ignorant people, and one of them, and they saw a blind man coming towards them. One of them, a silly one, said, Allah Ta'ala said, whenever you see a blind man, throw him to the ground. You are not more generous than his creator. It's silly words. And they started laughing when he said that. This is lying about Allah Ta'ala, and it is blasphemy. Because he claimed that these silly words and harming unrightfully this weak person is like Al-Quran. He said, Allah said. He claimed that this is the saying of Al-Quran. He knows it is not. But still, he blasphemed by that. بعض الناس حتى يحمسوا غيرهم على فعل طاعة من الطاعات يقولون قال رسول الله من فعل كذا وكذا فله من الثواب كذا. يكذبون على الرسول لأجل هذا. أيضا هذا حرام من كبائر الذنوب. Some people sometimes to urge others to do good deeds, they lie about the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. They say, the Prophet said, the one who does such matter gets such and such reward. While they know that the Prophet did not say that. By this, they would be committing an enormous sin. إن كان الكذب على الله يتضمن تحريف الشرع تحريف ما جاء به النبي ما بلغه النبي عن ربه وإن كان الكذب على الرسول يتضمن ذلك يعني الذي يكذب على الله أو على الرسول يعرف أن الكلام الذي يقوله فيه تحريف للشريعة يكفر بذلك. If one says a statement claiming that this is from Al-Quran or this is the saying of the Prophet, while knowing that this contradicts the rules of the religion, then one blasphemes by saying that. So this is a type of lying which is blasphemy. مثل الوهابية يزعمون أن هناك جسما كبيرا قاعدا على العرش وهم في هذا كاذبون. يزعمون أن الله جسم كبير قاعد على العرش وهم في هذا كاذبون. شبه الله بخلقه، هذا كذب ضد أصل العقيدة فيكون كفرا. Like what the Wahhabis say, they claim that Allah is a huge body sitting up on Al-Arsh. This is a type of lying which is blasphemy, because they are likening Allah to the creation. Allah. If they claim that Allah Ta'ala is smaller than Al-Arsh, then this would be an explicit statement attributing boundaries and limits and shape to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. If they say Allah is in size equal to Al-Arsh, then again they are claiming that Allah has the shape of Al-Arsh. If they claim that His size is bigger, He has a size which is bigger than Al-Arsh, then they are claiming that Allah has parts. Some of Him is over Al-Arsh and some of Him exceeds Al-Arsh. And in all cases, this is attributing Allah with the attributes of bodies. This is attributing the shape and volume to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. This is a type of blasphemy. This is a type of lying which is blasphemy. ابن تيمية يقول يمكن لا بأس أن يعتقد الشخص أن الله أصغر من العرش بقدر 4 أصابع، ولا بأس أن يعتقد أن الله بقدر العرش. ابن تيمية said it is okay if someone believes that Allah is smaller than العرش by 4 fingers. The size of 4 fingers. And it is okay to believe that Allah is in size equal to Al-Arsh. Anyone who says anything similar to that is a blasphemer. This is blasphemy. This is a type of lying which is blasphemy. لو كانت الألوهية تجوز للجسم لجازت الألوهية للشمس. الشمس جسم كبير منير نافع، لكن لا يجوز أن تكون إلها. لماذا؟ لأنها جسم. إذن كل جسم لا يجوز أن يكون إلها، كل ما له حجم وشكل وحد لا يجوز أن يكون إلها. Had it been permissible, had it been had it been permissible to attribute godhood to a body, then it would have been permissible to claim that the sun is God. Why it is not permissible to say that? Because the sun has limits, shape, volume, color. So everything that has a shape, a volume, a color, and the like does not deserve godhood. It is not permissible to attribute godhood to it. And this is why we say that the Wahhabis, by saying what they say, are not following the creed of Islam, and they lying about Allah Ta'ala and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and this type of lying is blasphemy. قال المؤلف واليمين الكاذبة. The author said to commit perjury, that is to solemnly swear to a lie. من معاصي اللسان أن يحلف الإنسان كاذبا وهو يعرف أنه كاذب وهي من كبائر الذنوب معصية كبيرة. Among the sins of the tongue is to swear by Allah, is to swear while lying. That is, you know that you are lying and still you swear to support your lie. This is an enormous sin. لأن هذه من الكبائر لأن فيها التجرؤ على ذكر اسم الله تبارك وتعالى في معرض الكذب. It is an enormous sin because the person dares to mention the name of Allah in a context of lying. فَهَذَا تَهَاوُنٌ فِي تَعْظِيمِ اللَّهِ. So this is falling short in glorifying Allah تبارك وتعالى properly. إذا حلف الإنسان بالله أو بصفة من صفات الله تبارك وتعالى كاذبا فقد وقع في الذنب الكبير. If one swears by Allah or by an attribute among the attributes of God, then he is committing an enormous sin. وليحذر هنا من كلمة يحسن التنبيه هنا لشيء ليحذر من قول وحياة القرآن فإن القرآن لا يوصف بالحياة. Some people, because they are used, some Arabic speaking people, they are used when they want to swear to say وَحَيَاتِ اللَّهِ, which means by the life of Allah. So sometimes they use this, they say another term. They say وَحَيَاتِ الْقُرْآنِ. And if you translate it, if you say, what does that mean? The meaning would be by the life of Al-Qur'an. It is not permissible to say that, because Al-Qur'an does not have a life. It's not attributed with life, regardless of the meaning of Al-Quran. It is not, whether it refers to the attribute of Allah or it refers to the book revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is not permissible to say this word. What did you want to ask, brother?
While lying.
قال المؤلف وألفاظ القذف وهي كثيرة حاصلها كل كلمة تنسب إنسانا أو واحدا من قرابته إلى الزنا فهي قذف لمن نسب إليه إما صريحا مطلقا أو كناية بنية. The author said to say words which attribute adultery or fornication as zina to a person or to one of one's relatives, either explicitly or implicitly with that intention. يعني إذا وجه الإنسان إلى آخر، إذا قال إنسان لآخر يا زاني أو يا ابن الزانية أو يا ابن الزاني أو يا أخو الزانية أو يا أخ الزانية أو يا أخ الزاني أو ما شابه ذلك من الكلمات، فقد ارتكب فاعل ذلك ذنبا عظيما من ذنوب اللسان وهو ذنب القذف. Among the sins of the tongue is for one to say, to address someone else by saying, you are a fornicator, or you are the child of a fornicator, or the brother of a fornicator, or the sister of a fornicator. أية كلمة فيها نسبة إنسان إلى الزنا أو واحد من قرابته أو زوجه أو نحو ذلك هذا يقال له قذف. So if someone addresses another person with any words that contain the meaning of accusing this person with az-zina, any one among his relatives, his wife, or the like, this is called qazf. It is an enormous sin. ومثل ذلك لو قيل لواحد يا لائط أو فلان لائط أو لاط بفلان. Likewise, if someone addresses another person by saying you committed sodomy, the same judgment applies. هذه الكلمات صريحة لا يسأل ماذا نيتك، لا يسأل قائلها ما هي نيتك. Those words are explicit words, so the one who says them wouldn't be asked about his intention. لكن هناك كلمات أخرى يختلف حكمها هل هي قذف أو لا على حسب نية المتكلم. But there are other words that would be judged to be قذف, as we said, this is called قذف, this sin. Or other than that, depending on the intention of the person. بعض الكلام له أكثر من معنى. يحتمل معنى القذف ويحتمل معاني أخرى. Some words can bear more than one meaning. It can be used to accuse someone with a zina, and it can be used for other meanings. في هذه الحال على حسب نيته يكون الحكم. In this case, the judgment is contingent upon the intention of the one who says the word. مثلا لو قال واحد لآخر يا خبيث، يحتمل أن يكون قصده يا زاني ويحتمل غير ذلك. شو خبيث؟ ومثل ذلك يا فاجر مثلا أو يا فاسق. For example, if someone says to another person, oh, you enormous sinner, he might mean by that, oh, you the one who committed fornication, zina. And he might mean by that something else. So depending on his intention, and the judgment depends on his intention. إذا رفع إلى القاضي من قذف آخر وثبت عليه عند القاضي ذلك، يقول له القاضي عندك شهود أربعة يشهدون أنهم رأوا هذا الرجل أو هذه المرأة، هذا الرجل يزني أو هذه المرأة تزني، رأوا حال الزنا. ليس رأوا اثنين في خلوة ولا اثنين تحت لحاف واحد، بل رأوا عين الزنا. عندك أربعة شهود عدول يشهدون بهذا. إن قال ما عندي، إن لم يكن عنده شهود عدول أربعة ولا يكفي شاهدان في هذه الحال يشهدون بذلك، في شريعة الإسلام هو هذا القاذف يعاقب، يقام عليه الحد. If someone accuses another person, a male or a female, with a zina, if this case is brought before the judge and it is confirmed for the judge that this person said this accusation, in this case the judge tells him, do you have four upright, trustworthy witnesses that witness that they had seen the actual zina? So he tells him, do you have four people to witness for you, upright, trustworthy Muslims to witness for you, to support your claim? For who saw the act itself, not who saw two people alone in a house, or two people alone in a room, or two people under one cover. No, who saw the actual sexual intercourse. If he does not bring four witnesses, then he, the one who accused the other person with a zina, he or she would be punished. So in the religious rules, he or she deserves to be punished. الحد العقاب 80 جلدة إن كان القاذف حرا و40 إن كان عبدا. The punishment is 80 lashes if the accuser is a free person. If the accuser is a slave, then he would be punished with half of that, that is by 40 lashes. فهذا الذنب ليس ذنبا هينا. I'm mentioning all of that so you know that this is not a small sin to accuse someone with az-zina, just like that. Some people jokingly they do that every while. It is an enormous sin. It is an enormous sin. You know the words that they use. I don't need to mention them. وهناك شيء ثالث متعلق بهذه المسألة، تفصيل ثالث، شيء يقال له التعريض. لفظ القذف قد يكون صريحا وقد يكون كناية. إن كان صريحا أو كناية ففيه حد، أما إن كان تعريضا فليس فيه حد مع حرمته، مع كونه حراما ليس فيه حد. إيش يعني إن كان تعريضا؟ يعني أحيانا قد يستعمل الإنسان لفظا في الأصل لا يحتمل معنى الزنا، لا يحتمل معنى الاتهام بالزنا، لكن يريد منه الإشارة إلى أن الآخر زاني، كأن يقول نحن أولاد حلال. إذا واحد قال نحن أولاد حلال باللغة، في لغة العرب، هذا لا يحتمل معنى الزنا، لا يحتمل معنى اتهام الآخر بالزنا، لكن قد يقولها أحيانا ويريد بها الإشارة إلى أن المخاطب ابن زنا، هذا حرام لكن لا حد فيه. There is a third detail pertaining this case. We said if someone accuses another person with a zina, whether explicitly or implicitly, This is haram and punishable. Now, one might use a term that does not bear in the language, accusing someone else with az-zina. It does not. But he uses it to insinuate that the other person is committing az-zina or committed az-zina. Like if one says, let me say, our family is a clean family, for example. Our family, we do not commit az-zina in our family. He means by that, well, in the language, this does not mean, this cannot bear the meaning of accusing someone else with a zina. But one might use it to insinuate that you do that. Or in your family they do it. In this case, this would be haram, but it is not punishable. So the one who says it does not is not punishable by the ruler for that, with the previous punishment. It's not punishable with the previous punishment. يعني. Okay. Okay, واضح إلى هنا. Is it clear up till here? قال المؤلف رحمه الله ومنها سب الصحابة. The author said to curse the companions. من معاصي اللسان سب أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كما ذكرنا قبل. Among the sins of the tongue is to curse the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, as we mentioned yesterday. وسب واحد من أولياء الصحابة كسب واحد من السابقين الأولين من المهاجرين والأنصار أشد إثما وأعظم ذنبا من سب غيرهم. Cursing one among the first believers among the companions, the first batches of المهاجرين or الأنصار, is more sinful than cursing a companion, than cursing another companion, a companion who is not among those ones. أما سب الصحابة كلهم فكفر كما ذكرنا. As we mentioned, cursing all the companions is blasphemy. أما لو قال الشخص بأن من قاتل سيدنا عليا عندما صار خليفة, بعدما صار خليفة, من قاتله فهو باغ, فهذا ليس سبا منهيا عنه, ليس هذا الذي أريد هنا. Now, if one says, but be careful, if one says that those who fought against the fourth caliph, Ali ibn Abi Talib, after he became a caliph, saying that those who fought against him were unjust, is not a sin. This is not sinful. لأن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام وصفهم بأنهم بغاة. Because the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام described them by that. He said about them that they are
revolters. الزلمي شو بسموه؟ ريفولت سوا.
The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام described them by being unjust rebels. So it is not a sin to describe them by that. معجزة للنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أخبر عن ذلك قبل حصوله. قال ويح عمار تقتله الفئة الباغية. As a miracle before the death of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, he told about these incidents. Among what he said is that one day he praised Ammar ibn Yasir, one of the companions. He said about him, he praised him, and he said that he is going to be killed by the unjust rebels. فيما بعد قتل عمار وهو يحارب في جيش سيدنا علي ضد معاوية, قتله جيش معاوية. Later, Ammar was killed by the army of Muawiyah. Ammar was fighting in the army of Sayyidina Ali and was killed by the followers of Muawiyah. فَيُعْلَمُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ أَنَّ مُعَاوِيَةَ وَمَنْ مَعَهُ بُغَى. So from this it is known that Muawiyah and the people who were with him, who fought against Al-Imam Ali, are unjust. They were unjust. هو عمار نفسه كان يقول عنهم قبل أن يقتل فسقوا وبغوا. عمار himself, before he was killed, he used to say about the followers of Muawiyah that they committed enormous sin, an enormous sin by that. معاوية كان من الصحابة وكان معه قليل من الصحابة في جماعته. معاوية himself was among the companions and he had with him few, a small number of companions. هؤلاء بغاة, those are unjust people, unjust rebels. كل من قاتل عليا فهو باغي. Everyone who fought against Ali was unjust. أما السيدة عائشة في المعارك الثلاث, في الجمل وصفين والنهروان. In the three battles, the battle of Al-Jamal, the battle of Siffin, the battle of Al-Nahrawan, all those who fought against Ali were unjust. بعد أن بويع علي بالخلافة, بعد أن صار خليفة, بعض الناس تجمعوا في البصرة, مدينة في العراق, تجمعوا فيها بغير إذن علي, خرجوا عن طاعته, قالوا نحن نريد منك أن تقتل الذين قتلوا سيدنا عثمان, أن تعاقبهم. After Ali became a caliph, after the Muslims, the companions appointed him as a caliph and gave allegiance to him, some people gathered in the city of Al-Basra. Basra is in southern of Iraq. They gathered there without his permission. They made some tribulation under the claim that you must punish those who killed Uthman. وعلي ما كان يعرف من قتل عثمان بالتحديد. Our master Ali did not know who were those, or who was the one, or the ones who were the ones who killed Uthman. لأنه كان تجمع أناس عديدون بعضهم قتل عثمان. Because many people gathered from different areas. They came and they gathered around the house of Sayyidina Uthman. And some among them, one or more among them, killed Uthman. So it was not known who was the one who did it. So Ali actually was not able to punish the one or the ones who killed Uthman. He didn't know who did that. But under that claim, they gathered in Al-Basra. They disobeyed the righteous caliph. As-Sayyida Aisha, لما عرفت باجتماعهم, ذهبت إلى هناك حتى تصلح بينهم وبين جيش علي. When this happened, Lady Aisha went there to try to reconcile between them and the army of the Caliph, the army of Ali. لكنها خالفت في ذلك الخليفة. علي ما كان يريدها أن تذهب. But in doing that, she disobeyed the caliph because Ali did not want her to go. ثم هي عندما ذهبت وقفت في المعسكر المضاد له. يعني كان مكثها في المعسكر المضاد له. And when she went there, she stayed with the people who were against Ali. بهذا عصت. By this was her sin. هي ما قالت لهم قاتلوا. She did not order or encourage them to fight against Ali. But she disobeyed Ali, who was the caliph, and she stayed in the camp, if you want, of the rebels. وكان النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام حذرها من ذلك. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام warned her against this issue. قال يوما لزوجاته واحدة منكن يعني ستخرج ويكون خروجها في غير محله وتنبحها كلاب الحوأب في مكان يقال له الحوأب تنبح الكلاب عليها. ثم قال لعائشة إياك أن تكونيها. One day the Prophet was talking to his wives and he told them one of you is going to travel and her trip is not going to be in place. It's not going to be a good one. And the sign of that at a place called Al-Hawab, dogs will bark at her. Then he addressed Aisha and he told her, don't be that one. بعد ذلك السيدة عائشة نبحتها الكلاب في موضع. قالت ما اسم هذا الموضع؟ قيل لها الحوأب. قالت ودوني، ما أراني إلا راجعة، ودوني. ثم جاء بعض الناس كذبوا عليها، قالوا هذا ليس الحوأب، لا يسمى الحوأب. فمضت إلى حيث كانت تريد. At one area, at one place, the dogs barked at her. She remembered what the Prophet said. She asked, what is this place? They told her Al-Hawab. When she heard that, she said, take me back. I want to go back to Al-Madinah. They asked her why. She told them. Some people came and they lied at her. They told her, this place is not called Al-Hawab. The one who told you it's called like that did not know, etc. So they lied at her. She continued her trip. لما بدأ القتال هي ما شجعتهم، نهتهم، لكن كان ذنبها ما ذكرناه. When they started fighting, she did not encourage them to do that. Rather, she told them not to do it. But her sin was what I told you, that she disobeyed the caliph and she stayed with those who rebelled against him unrightfully. ثم تابت بعد ذلك. Later, Sayyida Aisha, after that, she repented. يعني كثيرا ما كانت تبكي من ندمها. She cried a lot out of her regret. حتى يعني الدمع صار للدمع مجرى في خديها. To a point that her tears affected her face. So يعني as if a channel, like it became the يعني I don't know how to say it. It left a channel on her face because she cried a lot after that out of repentance. فليست عائشة محلا للطعن ولا يجوز سبها. So it is not permissible to curse عائشة or to accuse her to say bad words against her. She repented quickly. كذلك طلحة والزبير تابا سريعا. Likewise, Talha and Az-Zubayr, they repented quickly. لذلك لا يجوز الطعن فيهما. So it is not permissible to discredit them. عائشة وطلحة والزبير الثلاثة بشرهم الرسول بالجنة. Those three, Aisha, Talha, and Az-Zubayr, the three of them, the Prophet gave them the good news that they are among the people of paradise. حتى عمار كان يقول قبل معركة الجمل أنا أعلم أنها زوجة نبيكم في الدنيا وفي الآخرة لكن الله ابتلاكم ليظهر من يتبعها ومن يتبع شرع الله امتحنكم الله بذلك. Even Ammar ibn Yasir, before the first battle of Al-Jamal, he used to say, to address the people and say, I know that Aisha is the wife of the Prophet. She was his wife in this life and she will be his wife in paradise. But this is a test. You are tested now. Are you going to follow Aisha or you are going to follow the rules of the religion? So he did not insult her, Ammar. رضي الله عنها. بعد هذه المعركة معاوية جمع جيشا كبيرا لقتال سيدنا علي. After this battle, Muawiyah gathered a big army to fight Ali. Muawiyah كان يريد الملك. He wanted to become the ruler. That's why. في تلك المعركة التي يقال لها معركة صفين قتل عمار بن ياسر. In that battle, which is called the Battle of Siffin, عمار بن ياسر was killed. فإذا قلنا بأن من قاتل عليا بغى هذا ليس من السب الذي هو من المعصية. So if we say to clarify the rule, to clarify the judgment, if we say like the Prophet said that those who fought against Ali are unjust rebels, they were unjust rebels, this would not be a sin. This is not the sin that we are talking about. واضح? Is it clear? بعض الناس يقولون معاوية اجتهد وغلط. أي اجتهاد؟ كيف يعني يكون اجتهاد على خلاف شرع الله؟ نص القرآن والحديث واضح في وجوب طاعة الخليفة، أين الاجتهاد في هذا؟ ثم كيف يعني اجتهد فقتل 20,000 نفس؟ هذا يقال له اجتهاد؟ لا يجوز أن يقال هذا الكلام. Some people sometimes they say معاوية made اجتهاد. They are insinuating that he did not commit a sin. The claim is false. The mujtahid makes ijtihad when there is not a religious, an explicit religious text. There are religious texts, explicit religious texts that mention that it is haram to fight against the caliph. So how there would yani how would there be any room for ijtihad in this case? And what is this ijtihad that they claim that led to kill 20,000 Muslims? His army killed 20,000 Muslims unrightfully. Something like that would be called ijtihad. It is a sin. That's what it is. كما سماها النبي, just as the Prophet called it. MashaAllah. لكن نحن لا نفعل كما يفعل بعض الناس يتخذون سب معاوية وردا. But still, يعني, we are saying this to clarify the religious judgment. We don't do like some people do. Cursing Muawiyah for them is like a regular routine, as if they make zikr every day by that. And of course, it is not permissible to curse Aisha or Talha or Az-Zubayr. Anyone who curses them, he deserves a severe punishment from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in the hereafter. طيب قال المؤلف رحمه الله والله نقف هنا. Let us stop here. Do you have any questions? تفضل حاج. عليكم السلام. بإيش؟ 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 يعني إيش السب؟ يعني يقولون باغي, يقولون كافر, ليس لهم. مثلا واحد يريد أن يقتل إنسانا ظلما, هذا الإنسان عندك في البيت, يقول لك فلان عندك وأنت لا تستطيع أن تمنعه, لو قلت عندي، لا تقول له نعم هو في الداخل يعني حتى لا تكذب، بل تكذب حتى تمنع عنه ذلك. Sometimes it is permissible to lie. An example of that is if you know that someone wants to kill another person unrightfully, and this person hides, let's say, in your house, then that one, the one who wants to kill him, comes to you and he asks you, do you know where is so and so? And you cannot prevent him from killing him. If you tell him he's inside in my house, you cannot prevent him from killing him. You don't say, I know he is in my house, for example. You say, I don't know. You lie to protect him. In this case, this is permissible. It is not prohibited. You don't say it. You don't say it out of just accusing someone without knowing that about that person. No, you cannot. Other than this, go ahead. To Allah. Well, he didn't say, that person did not say in Al-Quran. He said, Allah said. لا أريد أن أقول لك. Okay, so no questions. نهل تفضل. Is it true? The prophets do not lie at all. Even the slip of the tongue does not occur with them. Rafiq. If someone swears by Allah or by one of the attributes of Allah for something that is truthful, it is true, this is permissible. It is not haram to do that. It is not haram to do that. Usually, the pious people do not swear every now and then. If you swear to, for example, you are teaching something which is true, you are teaching a religious material, you are giving a religious information that is true, and you swear to make the one who is listening more acceptable, accepting, that's good. If you swear to avoid, to protect someone from injustice, that's good. There are areas when you swear, you get reward for that. But not always. So the people who, the pious people, usually they do not swear every now and then. But if someone does it and what he's saying is truth, is truthful, then it is permissible. It is not haram. There is no sin in that. عن ثلاثة أصناف التي ذكرنا عن إيش؟ الغيبة والنميمة والتضمخ بالبول. يعني هذا يكون أكبر سبب للعذاب، قد يعذبون على أشياء أخرى إن كانوا مسلمين، لا بد أن يدخلوا الجنة يوما. ما شاء الله. الله يستر. If someone says a statement, that means that Allah knows that I'm saying the truth, that things took place as I said, while he knows that this is not the case, then he's saying that Allah is ignorant. And this is blasphemy. But just saying Wallah while lying does not entail attributing Allah with ignorance. This is why there is a difference between the two judgments. If someone puts his hand on Al-Quran and swears to a lie, is this kufr? No, the answer is no, this is not kufr. Doing that is not kufr. It is an enormous sin. It is an enormous sin. I'll answer later to this question. The one who wrote it, I need more details about it. So he or she can talk to me later about it. طيب بارك الله فيكم. نهلل. لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.